Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah? Aw
yeah! Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and little elves from the North Pole to the South Pole, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, or even
fat, jolly old
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to us while you're riding in a sleigh, decking the halls, picking out a Christmas tree, or even
checking out your stocking.
Oh yeah. I'm joined here by the man who can make a fruitcake with vegetables, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah. What is going on?
Not too much. So, what is a fruitcake?
A fruitcake is a cake that has little pieces of fruit in it, right?
Yeah, it's very typical around the holiday season in the U.S. A lot of times if you go to someone's house around Christmas time, you might bring them a fruitcake. But they're kind of known for maybe not being the most delicious cake, so I'm not sure why they're so popular around Christmas. And anyway, if you haven't figured it out, today's podcast is all about that very merry time of year, Christmas time, which, at least in the United States, is not necessarily a religious holiday for most, and it's more become much more of a cultural holiday. Would you agree, J-Man?
I definitely agree. It's a very big cultural holiday. I'm not Christian myself. There was a phase of my life where I was, but I treat it as a big family holiday.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's very much the same. I grew up with some Christianity, but nowadays it's just an excuse basically to be with family, be with the people that matter. And in that spirit, let me share a quote from an anonymous person. It's not what's under the tree that matters, it's who's gathered around it.
Okay, what does gathered mean here, Mr. V?
Gather means to get together. When people come together, they gather.
Okay, another way to say like a meeting, for example, you can say, I'm having a gathering in my house, a small gathering, right?
Mm-hmm. It'd be like a small party. A shindig. Might have a Christmas shindig.
A kegger.
A Christmas kegger. Maybe if you're in college. What's a kegger?
A kegger is when you have a keg of beer. Like a barrel, right? Ethan and I, we both went to the same university. Known as University of Colorado. CU. Go Buffs. And known as one of the biggest party schools in the United States.
I don't know. Before I went to university there, it was like in the top five. But I think it's much lower now.
They actually rank these in the United States.
They actually rank the biggest party schools. That's true. This also says it's not what's under the tree that matters, it's who's gathered around it. So what does that mean? What is the quote wanting to say?
So it's not the presents that matter. I think sometimes we get lost in presents and what am I going to get for Christmas? And I think this happens with kids a lot too. It becomes a consumer holiday, but it's really who are you with on Christmas. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. That's the Christmas spirit, so to speak. So I definitely, for me, Christmas is probably my favorite holiday of the year. Just getting to be, this year, unfortunately, I don't think I will be. I think Justin's in the same boat, but generally getting to be with family and the people that matter most, eating delicious food, maybe getting presents. Even better is getting to give presents sometimes. And just to show, you know, a bit of gratitude to someone we're very happy to have gathered around the Real Life English podcast, the Real Life English movement, and in the fluency circle, we're going to give
the Real Life English Christmas tree.
So we're going to give a big old shout out to one of our kick-ass English learners, kick-ass members of the fluency circle, Alexa from Italy.
I just want to say one thing here. I've really been appreciating the love and all of the gospel around this idea of speaking English without mistakes. Speaking English, even like not feeling obligated to speak perfectly, to make lots of mistakes. It seems like there have been some key members. Another member is like Vova in the fluency circle. And people just constantly talking about it. It's really great. It's really encouraging, really inspiring. People talking about encouraging others to speak, make mistakes, it's okay. I think people a lot of times have this kind of false pressure that they need to speak perfectly, and this prevents them from speaking, prevents them from practicing, prevents them from developing. And so you're seeing like leaders like Bova and Alexa really helping other people by saying, don't worry about your mistakes, just speak. It's, of course, you can like get feedback and improve your English with that feedback and not make as many mistakes as you go along, but you need to make lots of mistakes. They're important for the process. And Alexa recorded this really awesome audio and sent it to the group in the spirit of our the freedom of the group and the encouragement and inspiration. And it really inspired me. Let's give that a share.
Hey, guys, up. Here we are again talking about mistakes. Again, and want to know the truth? I'm really tired to talk about mistakes. Are you afraid to talk in English? Are you feeling nervous? I don't like this fear of failure. Fear's not real. Mistakes are cool. Fear is not cool. You know what I mean? Do you see a mistake? I see a progress. Work on your fear. Don't care about mistakes. Does your fear belong to you? Ask it to yourself right now. You know what? We are not born with fear. What's my fear? Where's it come from? Is it mine? I know that school, parents, society, etc. trying at us to be fearful. This is not my fear. This is their invention. This is not school. This is my life. No grades here. And another thing I want to say is that I don't want to compare myself to others. First of all, because we are unique. I am unique. I have my path. I'm making my choices. I have my energy, my intentions, my times, my way of living English. And I want to focus on myself. I want to apply this kind of rule for everything in life, because I will always find someone better than me. There will be always someone better than me in some part of this world. You know what I mean? But it's okay. It's natural. But fear of mistakes, fear in general, is not natural. I am born without fear. And I want to compare myself only to myself. How was my English 2 years ago? How was my English 1 year ago? How was my pronunciation, my vocabulary? I know that I am succeeding day after day because I am positive. I am living English day after day, and I am proud of it.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Alexa, for taking the time to share those magical words and sharing your brightness and being just such a shining role model of an English learner for our community. And if you want to learn more about how to join the Fluency Circle and also about how to maybe speak English without mistakes, that said in quotes, definitely go to the show notes of this podcast at reallifeglobal.com/Christmas. I will link an article that I wrote on this topic, which talks a lot about why people fear mistakes and, you know, why you shouldn't actually fear making mistakes. And we'll also share more about how you can join the Fluency Circle.
So, Ethan, what's the Fluency Circle really quickly?
Oh, yeah, of course. We couldn't leave without saying what that is, mentioning it so many times. So, the Fluency Circle is our community of kick-ass English learners who are all enrolled in one of our courses. And a lot of people find this to be one of the biggest values, actually, that they get out of being in the courses. So, they're not only learning a ton with a great TV series like Friends or with this podcast, but they also get the chance to make friends from every corner of the world. So if you think that that sounds pretty exciting, we would love to have you be one of our next members.
Oh, yeah.
And in case you haven't figured it out, today's podcast, in the spirit of Christmas, we wanted to talk about some of our favorite Christmas movies. And then we will also do a little lesson with one of the best Christmas movies of all time, in my opinion. So let's roll into that. The first one is probably one of the most internationally famous Christmas movies, maybe even in countries that don't tend to celebrate Christmas. What is that one, Justin?
It's Home Alone.
Home Alone. Oh, yeah. So this, at first glance, might not seem like a Christmas movie, but it is with the backdrop of Christmas. And what exactly happens in Home Alone, Justin?
Well, Home Alone is when Kevin, this blonde little boy played by Macaulay Culkin, his family they're all getting ready to go on vacation one day to Europe, I believe. I don't remember where in Europe, but they're all getting ready. The whole family is like eating dinner and he feels like really alienated. Some things happen where he causes problems and they get mad at him. They yell at him and they send him to the, I think, the attic. What does attic mean?
Attic is, well, generally if you're in a house, there's a top part under the roof, like between the main part of the house and the roof, and that's the attic.
And so they forget about him and they actually leave without him. So they go to Europe, they're on their flight. In the middle of the flight, I believe, the mom realizes, and there's a famous scene, she's like, "Kevin!" And she yells. And yeah, he's home alone. He wakes up and he needs to figure it out. There's no communication really with his family. Is that right? There's no communication?
Yeah, I don't think they had. It's from 1990. People didn't really have cell phones yet. And basically, he's there. He's having a great time at first, I think, eating whatever he wants and basically living out the dreams of a little kid without supervision. But then there's kind of a twist.
A twist? What does that mean?
A twist is basically a change in the plot that you weren't expecting. You know, he thinks that he's nice and safe at home, but then some burglars figure out that the house is more or less empty. And so they take advantage and try to rob it.
Okay. Why wouldn't we say in this case, tried to steal it? Would they say they tried to steal the house?
If they tried to steal the house, that would sound like they're actually trying to take the entire house, like the entire physical house. If they're burglaring the house, that which is generally the word that we'd use in this case for like a private residence, like a house, would be burglaring, meaning that you're trying to enter without permission and take things that don't belong to you.
So what ends up happening at the end?
Well, at the end, I don't know if we want to give away the end.
Yeah, that'd be a spoiler, right? We don't want to spoil the episode.
What's a spoiler?
A spoil, literally, like spoil, if you leave out the milk for a couple of days on the counter, it spoils. It goes bad. A spoiled person is somebody who maybe has a lot of privilege and they don't appreciate that and they're kind of rude and arrogant. But a spoiler, in this case, is something that spoils the ending. It makes the ending go bad because you know what's going to happen.
So we won't spoil the ending for you guys in case for some reason you have not seen Home Alone. If you have not, you definitely need to make that a priority. And like we said, this is probably internationally one of the most well-known ones. Is this actually something that happens often in the U.S.? Should people who are coming to the visit be worried that their house or their Airbnb or hotel room might get burgled?
Burgled? I've never actually heard that word burgled, just so you know. So I can't attest for the...
How would you say it in the past tense if it's not burgled?
To get robbed. But we'd say definitely say a burglar. But I don't know. You know, where I live, it happens to people sometimes. Maybe it's not so common. I think there are things like neighborhood watch associations. You know, the people, like, they bind together to pay attention, and people have alarm systems and stuff. So I think it can be a problem, but it's something to be paranoid about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the U.S. in general is very safe. Like, depends obviously what part you're in. But for example, in Colorado, I've never met, I don't believe, anyone who's been burgled or had their house robbed. So enough about Home Alone. Let's move on to the next classic Christmas movie.
So I suggested this one because this is a movie that I just think is hilarious, and I've seen it a few times. I always watch it with my brothers and sisters. I feel like, you know, Christmas movies, a lot of times they bring back memories of that time of year, spending it with loved ones. And when I'm at home with my family, this is a movie we might actually bring out and watch together. It's called National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from 1989. And have you seen that one movie, Ethan?
I have, but it's been a really long time. I mean, it actually came out the year I was born, so that might also cause a generational gap there.
So it has Chevy Chase in it, who's a famous like comedian. He's been on like Saturday Night Live a lot and stuff, but he's actually named Clark Griswold. And this is part of a series of movies, National Lampoon's, I think, Summer Vacation, and there's another one that I think it's a European Vacation or something, but it's kind of like satirical. He's kind of a typical American dad who has dreams about, you know, being this great dad and doing all these wonderful things and taking care of his family, but he ends up like looking like a fool a lot of the times because he doesn't have any self-awareness. And it's kind of that slapstick American humor. What does slapstick mean, Ethan?
It's like physical comedy, right?
Yeah, physical comedy, but it's just like really extreme, really kind of like just out there. Kind of like The Office, the American version.
That's definitely got a lot more slapstick comedy than the British version.
Yeah, so just a couple things in that movie. Like, they go and get a Christmas tree. All this crazy stuff happens. They end up getting this huge Christmas tree that's, like, way bigger than their house. So, like, when they take the net off, the rope, it, like, breaks the windows.
I remember that scene.
They're in, like, a Christmas light competition. And so he puts Christmas lights all over his house because everybody in the neighborhood is like there's sort of a unspoken competition of who has the best Christmas lights. And this is kind of true in the United States, right? People, do you have Christmas lights in Colorado?
My mom does a little bit. Different towns and stuff. I believe in my town, there's like a Christmas light tour you can go on where they actually like identify all the best houses in the town and they go all around. I know my neighbors are one of them. It's like insane. We always drive up there at Christmas to see the new thing that they do, and they have like music playing and everything. So some people really go over the top with it, but I think like a little bit, it really is makes a nice change that you kind of see happen throughout different towns that you go driving around and everything is lit up.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Some people really do an awesome job. There's a retirement community near where I live, and I think they use this as kind of an extra form of income. Every year, they just put all this effort into, and they're retired, right? So they have time to do it, but they spend all this effort, like all the houses, to make the best neighborhood of Christmas lights. And then they end up like charging people to come in and like walk around. And I think that ends up becoming like a big source of income for that community for retired people, and something really cool to do as well. But another part of this, so the Christmas lights, all this crazy stuff happens. I think one of the things, he puts all the lights up. What happens with Christmas lights sometimes is if one bulb is missing, if one bulb is out, what does bulb mean, Ethan?
Bulb is like the glass, circular glass thing that you put into the light to actually get light.
If one of them is out, then none of them will work. And so you have thousands of them all over the house, and he doesn't know which one. So he needs to go through each one and like test it, see which one works and which one doesn't.
Sounds like a huge pain.
There's another part of the movie when his cousin Eddie comes, and he lives in like a typical middle class American house, you know, the white picket fence, kind of a nice house. But his cousin comes, and his cousin's sort of like a redneck.
What's a redneck?
A redneck is maybe a person without culture, they're poor and kind of a hick, kind of trailer trash, right? These are names. Maybe trailer trash is a little bit derogatory.
Yeah, I think redneck and hick kind of are too. Like it's definitely not a compliment for most people to call the redneck or a hick.
Yeah. Some people call it white trash too, because it's like poor white people. And maybe that kind of hit.
White trash is kind of people who live in like a trailer park though, like a community of like mobile homes that aren't mobile anymore. They're actually like installed.
So Clark's cousin, Eddie, he has an RV, one of those like traveling trailers. And he shows up and he just embarrasses the whole family, causes lots of problems. He's like very uncouth.
What's uncouth?
Uncouth means that he doesn't have very good vocabulary. I mean, he says a lot of bad words that just sound really bad and really gross. You know, he's very disgusting.
He has no filter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, that's a great movie. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Check it out. What about another movie, Ethan? Move on to that.
All right. The next one is A Christmas Story, which is even more classic. It's from 1983. It takes place in the 1940s, though. And I think it also follows kind of like a typical family, a bit poor. And one of the main characters, who's like a little boy, he really, really wants for Christmas a Red Ryder BB gun. What's a BB gun?
A BB gun is like one of those guns that shoots those little pellets. You're not shooting real bullets, but I mean, they still hurt. You know, if you shoot somebody, it's going to sting.
Yeah, or you could still probably kill an animal, like a small animal with it or something.
Or shoot your eye out, maybe?
Yeah, you might shoot your eye out, meaning that you'll accidentally shoot yourself in the eye and you'll be blind.
And this is actually the part of the plot, because he says that I want a BB gun for Christmas, this Red Ryder BB gun that's really this great, beautiful new gun that's on the market. And everybody tells him like, oh, you'll shoot your eye out. And so this becomes kind of this mantra in the movie, you'll shoot your eye out, you'll shoot your eye out.
And then what happens, and there's like another scene in the movie where he tries to like lick a frozen pole.
Yeah, this is a famous scene, actually. Somebody dares him. I dare you. What does dare mean in this case, Ethan?
When you say you dare someone to do something, it's like you challenge them, because generally you're saying like, oh, you can't actually do that. I bet you can't do that. And so you dare them to do it.
Yeah, so it's super cold. It's ass cold out. And pardon my French. What does ass mean in this case?
It's just like a modifier. So it's like saying it's really, really cold.
Yeah. And so somebody dares him, right? So I dare you. I double dog dare you, they say, which means to dare somebody like a lot, right? To stick your tongue on that pole. And so if you have ever lived in a cold area, you see that if you take moisture and put it on frozen surface, like metal, it will stick. It will freeze. And so he stuck his tongue to the pole, this metal pole, and it was frozen and his tongue stuck. I think they needed to call the fire department to come and cut his tongue off or something, right?
They did the same thing in Dumb and Dumber. There's also like a great scene where the woman ends up like just pulling his head and you see his tongue actually like stretch out. It's a little bit disturbing.
Dumb and Dumber is that movie with Jim Carrey, right?
Exactly. Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey and I'm not sure the name of the other guy, the other actor, but he's also moderately famous. It's not really a Christmas movie, but it's also very funny. One to check out if you haven't seen it. The next one, which is actually we're going to be teaching you with a clip from this one later on. It's one of my all-time favorite Christmas movies called Elf from 2003, starring Will Ferrell. And this one's about a baby in an orphanage that Santa comes to bring presents to the orphanage and he sneaks into Santa's bag, which has all the presents.
So first of all, what's orphanage, Ethan?
Oh yeah, an orphanage is a place where children who don't have parents, maybe because they died or because they gave them up for adoption, where they go and, you know, they live there and hopefully they find a family. But this baby ends up making it to the North Pole and the elves are like these small creatures which supposedly make Santa's all the presents for Santa to deliver to the children of the world. They end up raising him as an elf. And Will Ferrell is very tall. So the comedy of this is that he ends up being like a 30-year-old adult who is, you know, four times bigger than any of the elves. And he finally discovers that he's not really an elf. He has a sudden realization that he's not really an elf because he's so much bigger and doesn't fit in and he's not good at making toys.
So just quick question there. So you said elf and then the plural is elves, right?
It's a good point. It's a lot of times when a word ends with F, when we make it plural, the F changes to a V. So like another example might be knife becomes knives or wife becomes wives and elf becomes elves. And so basically what happens is he wants to know where he comes from and Santa knows who his father is. So he ends up telling him where he can meet his father in New York City. But the twist is that his father was on the naughty list. And so he goes and he visits his family.
So wait, naughty? What do you mean by that?
Naughty means it's the opposite of, well, we say you're either naughty or nice. You're on Santa's naughty or nice list.
So this is Santa Claus has a list, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And if you're naughty, instead of getting presents, you get coal in your stocking.
And what is coal?
Coal is like a black substance that you burn for energy or that can also, if it's compacted like a ton over many, many millions of years, I believe, it becomes a diamond.
Wow, nice explanation, man.
It's a very funny movie. It's all about like Will Ferrell thinking that he's an elf in New York City, doesn't really fit in with the other humans. And as you'll see in the scene that we're going to show you, it makes for a lot of very hilarious situations. Definitely go and watch this one. You're going to love it and laugh a lot, even if you're not Christian or you don't celebrate Christmas.
Okay, so the next one here, this is actually, we're trying to give you a nice variety of movies. So if you're in the lovey-dovey type of stage with somebody, this is a good, it's a good chick flick, a good comedy, right? Romantic comedy for you to check out with somebody.
It's not even like too bad of a chick flick as far as romances go, because I know a lot of guys who enjoy this movie as well.
It is a good movie. Yeah, you're right. I definitely agree.
Maybe a good one to watch with your couple, if you're with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend. Curl up by the fireplace with some hot chocolate. Liam Neeson is also in it, but he's, you know, and it is like the father of one of the main characters who's a little boy who's trying to get a little girl to fall in love with him for Christmas. And that's actually a nice story because like his mother passed away. He's very depressed and stuff, but his father ends up helping him learn how to play guitar or play drums actually to impress this girl in the talent show. So that's like one of the storylines. Basically, Love Actually, it takes a bunch of different stories and they kind of crisscross. They cross over in different ways.
And then they come together, right?
And then they come together. And it's like a really nice way of following like all these different plots, all to the backdrop of Christmas. And one is, I believe, with the prime minister and his secretary. And that's Hugh Grant, I believe, plays the prime minister, right? And one of my favorite plot lines from it is actually like there's a guy, I believe he's a writer, and he's trying to kind of get away from his life and everything. And so he goes to Portugal and the house cleaner ends up being like this beautiful Portuguese woman. And she speaks no English. She speaks no Portuguese, but he ends up like learning Portuguese to be able to communicate with her. And she ends up learning English to communicate with him so that they can actually understand each other. So that's like one of my favorite, obviously being a language lover. That's one of my favorite plot lines. So go and check that one out if you need a good one to watch with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. if you're all alone, you might enjoy it as well.
I think you will. It's definitely one of my favorite modern Christmas movies.
Definitely. So the next one, just to take it the other direction, going for a little bit younger audience, maybe not too young though, is The Nightmare Before Christmas from 1994, which is a Tim Burton film. And the basic plot line of this one is that there's different towns for every holiday. And Halloween Town, the mayor of Halloween Town, is kind of bored of his holiday. He's bored of Halloween and everything being scary. And so he wants to do something different. So he kidnaps Santa and he decides to become Santa. And obviously, being from Halloween, everything kind of goes wrong for him. But it's a very kind of funny, interesting, different sort of Christmas movie. If you are into Tim Burton films, you'll definitely really like it.
Okay, and now we have The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Grinch. This is a Grinch, man.
I think this one's going even younger.
Wait. But Christmas is your ticket to be able to watch kids' movies, right?
I totally agree. I think like anyone can enjoy this, but good one to watch with your kids or if you like kids' movies. Or even, you know, I think just because kids' movies tend to have a little bit easier English, it can be a really good English practice for you.
This one has Jim Carrey in it. He's the star.
Yeah, so a little bit different from Dumb and Dumber. But it comes from a Dr. Seuss story. And The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is a pretty famous Dr. Seuss kids book that, you know, our parents probably read to us when we were little or which we like to look at for the pictures. But a Grinch is basically a creature who I believe his heart is like 5 times too small or something like this. And so he doesn't like Christmas. He doesn't like anything about it. People buying presents for each other. So he decides that he's going to steal Christmas. He's going to sneak into people's houses and take all the presents and the cookies and milk. And what's the deal with cookies and milk, by the way, at Christmas?
Cookies and milk. This is what we leave for Santa Claus, right? And usually you wake up and it's like the milk is all gone and there are just crumbs left.
Exactly. So Santa loves eating cookies and drinking milk. So you're supposed to leave him cookies and milk for Christmas. But anyway, so the Grinch ends up stealing Christmas, but there's obviously a twist in the end because it's a kids movie that he kind of has a realization about what Christmas really means. And it helps his heart grow to normal size. So that's a very nice story.
Hey man, no spoilers. What the heck?
It's kind of one that you could probably see coming. Maybe not. I'm sorry if I spoiled that for anyone. But you'll enjoy it anyway. It's a really nice story about the meaning of Christmas, as is the next one, Christmas Carol.
What's a carol, man? Is there a woman named Carol?
Carol is a typical woman's name, right? Carol is also, you have caroling at Christmas. That people, this is very typical in the U.S., probably more in small towns, that a choir might go door to door singing Christmas carols, singing Christmas songs for people. Very nice tradition. But this is a Christmas carol. It's kind of a story, a very classic story. And there's been several different versions of this. There was a more recent one. The one we have written down is from 1951. And the main character, his name is Ebenezer Scrooge. And maybe you've heard this word Scrooge before. What does that mean in modern culture?
It just means somebody who's very greedy, right?
Yeah, someone who's kind of cheap, right? They don't like to spend money. Generally, someone who has money, so they're wealthy, but you know they don't want to spend it at all. They don't want to celebrate holidays. They don't want to spend their money to...
Just a note here, like a frugal is a positive connotation of this. You're frugal. It means like you don't spend money, but it's just you're cautious in a good way. And then you might say, you know, greedy or what's another word for this?
Cheap.
Cheap, yeah.
Or it's Scrooge is a noun, so it'd be someone is a Scrooge. And I think if you're frugal, it's generally like you will spend money on kind of things that are you find valuable and, you know, maybe on family, friends. If you're a Scrooge in general, it means that like you're just cheap and you want all your money for yourself just because you value the money more than people. What happens basically in this is that he, because he's a Scrooge, he's not helping anyone out. He's lonely. He ends up being visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future to try to show him that he needs to live a better life and be kinder to those around him. So it's another really nice story, a very classic one. If you do not know it, it's one that has a lot of references that you'll hear in all sorts of modern day pop culture. I definitely would recommend checking it out, if only for that. I actually was just watching a TV show the other day, and I believe they said something like, "You look like you just saw the ghost of Christmas past," which is an expression you'll hear, which like someone looks shocked. They look like they're very frightened or very shocked, surprised. That's all of our top picks. that we would recommend that you definitely check out this Christmas season. Whether or not you celebrate Christmas, you will enjoy these. It'll be very beneficial for your English. There are many different references to these if you end up going to an English-speaking country. And we wanted to just mention a few other really quickly without going into any depth about them. Do you want to do the honors, Justin?
Well, we just searched this for like top lists. Another one that came up really on top of a lot of lists was The Miracle on 34th Street. It's actually from 1947, so it's really old, but it's a big classic. Another one is It's a Wonderful Life, and this is another older one, but it's a classic if you're really into that type of movie. And another really wonderful classic is from 1988, Die Hard with Bruce Willis.
A classic Christmas movie.
So this is more like, it's not Christmas movie. It's kind of a thriller. It's a villain movie. There's a guy who basically it's about a terrorist. But it takes place in Christmas time.
That's definitely a great one. All right. So as we promised, we are going to break down a scene for you from Elf so they can get a little taste, get excited for some Christmas movies, maybe some hot cocoa, some roasted chestnuts and Christmas cookies.
And also, this is actually a Learn English with TV video that we made last year, and we really encourage you to check it out. It's going to be in the show notes at reallifeglobal.com/Christmas, and we have a free power lesson for it, which is a PDF guide breaking down all the stuff that you're going to hear today. Vocabulary, excellent for if you're a teacher to share with your class as well. Really wonderful lesson. It's the same format that we use with our Fluent with Friends course and the Native Immersion course. With that aspect of it. So you're going to really love it. And we're just going to go through some vocab and pronunciation as we roll into it. Mr. V, what's the context of the scene, first of all?
So the context of the scene, as we said, actually, we didn't say the name of the elf. His name is Buddy. So Will Ferrell's character, his name is Buddy the Elf. He is in New York at a department store. And what happens at Christmas time in the U.S., in all the department stores or malls, shopping centers, is that there'll be someone dressed up like Santa. There'll be Santa at these department stores, and little kids can go and they can tell Santa what they want for Christmas. Basically, the elf, Buddy, he stumbles upon this. He thinks that it's the real Santa, and he gets really excited because he knows the real Santa. He lived at the North Pole, and basically, it plays off of that.
Okay, so you said his name is Buddy. What's another definition of Buddy?
Buddy is another way that you could say friend.
Great. And so he says, cool it, Zippy. Zippy, is that pretty common or not?
Not something I would particularly use, but I mean, I've definitely heard it a lot. Zippy could be someone who's just like talking too much or someone who's moving too fast.
What about cool it? If I say, hey, cool it, Ethan, what does that mean?
Cool it is like calm down or stop what you're doing.
Take it easy, right? And then he says in here, you sit on a throne of lies. So Santa is sitting on a throne of lies.
So Santa at these department stores sits on a sort of throne. But if you sit on a throne of lies, it means that you like, you know, your whole life or whatever, everything that you do is ingenuine. It's fake.
Okay. Oh, fake. Okay. What's another way to say fake?
So he also says you're fake. You're an imposter. So an imposter is someone who pretends that they're someone else.
Okay. What about you stink? If I say, man, you stink, Ethan.
It could be mean that you smell bad. That you're giving off a bad order. But it could also be like you stink, like, you know, you're not cool or you don't like someone, what someone's doing. You could say you stink. You're not any fun.
You could say this stinks, right?
This stinks, yeah. It'd be like this sucks.
Okay. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho is what Santa says. Ho, ho, ho.
Okay, so that's vocabulary. Yep, you got it. And I'm just going to give you a couple of pronunciation tips here, which are really going to help you see some of the connected speech, how natives cut, connect, reduce their words. Which is so important for understanding native samples, like movies, TV shows, and something we really try to teach at Real Life English. So first one is Santa says, what are you talking about? So he says, what are you? This is a pretty common connection of the words like, what are you, what have you, and what do you? They all become, what are you?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
And so the next one, just pay attention to. So it's not Santa Claus. You can say that, of course, but it's very common for natives to say Santa Claus. So we reduce the T on words that have NT. For example, internet becomes internet. But it's important to remember that this happens when the stress is before the NT and there's a vowel afterwards. So this can happen between two words even. So like, hey, I went out last night, or don't even say anything. So instead of don't even. But moving on from here, the elf says, Tell him what you want. Why don't you break that down, Mr. V?
Yeah, the elf says, don't tell him what you want. And it comes out, don't tell him what you want, because we have the H on him. A lot of times we take off the H at the beginning of words and we will actually connect it to the word before it. So you can see the example of that here, tell him instead of tell him.
This usually happens on pronouns like him, her, his, pronouns that begin with H and in fast connected speech.
And what do you, because we have T-Y, T-Y a lot of times changes to a ch sound, C-H sound. So what you becomes what you. So the whole thing, don't tell them what you want.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when they come for you?
You got it. The final one here we have, Santa says, you know, how would you like to be dead? But he doesn't say it that way. He says, how'd you like to be dead? How'd you? The how would you becomes how'd you? Because how would can be reduced to how'd. And D plus Y oftentimes, like did you, becomes did you, ja. This is very common. So in the simple past. So did you, you know, why did you becomes why'd you oftentimes. How did you becomes how'd you. How would you can become how'd you. How'd you like to be dead?
So now that you're all prepped on the vocabulary and pronunciation, let's roll the clip.
Santa.
Buddy, the main character, sees a guy in a cheap Santa Claus costume at the local mall. Remember, Buddy was raised by the real Santa Claus in the North Pole.
Ha ha! Ho ho ho!
Yeah! Yeah! It's me, Buddy! It's me!
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Yeah! It's me!
Oh, my God,
who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am!
Well, if you're Santa, what song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course! how old are you, son?
Four.
You're a big boy. What's your name?
Paul.
And what can I
Paul,
get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Buddy rips fake Santa's fake beard off in front of the kids. They scream, and fake Santa attacks him. They fall on the Christmas tree fighting as Buddy calls him a fake.
Okay, go.
Awesome. I hope that you really enjoyed that scene. It's just a little taste of what you will get with this movie. So definitely go check out that entire Learn English with TV lesson, which will be at reallifeglobal.com/Christmas. And you can get the power lesson for it, which is, as Justin said before, is a really amazing resource for your English fluency. You're going to love it. And we will send you more about our course, Fluent with Friends, and the Fluency Circle. And that said, is there anything else you wanted to share with these guys before we roll on out?
I say have a kick-ass Christmas. Enjoy it. I hope you, if you celebrate it, you spend time with your family, cherish those moments, and hopefully you'll practice a little English at the same time.
Oh yeah. Merry Christmas.
So 1, 2, 3, oh yeah?
1, 2, 3.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.